We're talking with local peace activist John Amadon, a frequent guest here at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, among groups he's involved with, Veterans for Peace. And we thought we'd talk to John this week about, John, have you noticed in the last few days, what is this, smoke up in the atmosphere or something?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of smoke in the atmosphere. But, you know, if I hadn't read it, I probably would have mistaken the smoke for clouds. These are from the West Coast fires. I was talking to a friend of mine in Berkeley, and she hasn't been out of her house for 22 days except for two very small breaks because she has asthma. And up and down the West Coast and in Berkeley, they are breathing the smoke, and it's very dangerous. Fortunately for us, we aren't.
Yeah, and of course, you know, there's been a little bit of dispute with the president as to whether or not, you know, these wildfires that we're seeing in California and Oregon and Washington, and we saw, you know, a few months back in Australia, is that, you know, caused by climate change or just bad weather? But how does the issue of, you know, these wildfires and climate change relate to the issue of militarization?
Well, first of all, the weather, I mean, I definitely want to address climate change because we have too many climate change deniers. The weather out west has been extremely hot and windy, and the conditions that were created by climate change were prime. The governors have been screaming out there, this is climate change. Governor Brown, back in his office, when he was back a number of years ago in office, said, you know, this is the new normal. An area larger than the state of Connecticut has just burned out there on the West Coast. And these are conditions that are a direct result of climate change. So let's stop denying climate change, climate disruption. You know, there are at least 36 dead people out there, and hundreds, if not thousands, of buildings have been burned, along with a huge, huge amount of acreage. We have to stop pretending that climate change isn't real. It's real, folks. So how does this connect with militarism? Well, it connects with a number of different ways, both directly and indirectly. For example, Newsweek and other news media news sources reported that in Oregon, six of the military helicopters that are used by the Oregon National Guard were unavailable to help fight the wildfires. Why? Because they were sent to Afghanistan and the endless wars we have going in the Middle East, but in this case, specifically Afghanistan. And these helicopters could have been used to perform water drops on the fire. But no, they're over in Afghanistan. What this actually brings us to is a really central question. Where is our national security? Who or what is killing Americans? And is the military actually doing any real good work, providing any real security or defense? You know, and you have to ask yourself, have they been helpful in stopping COVID-19? Over 200,000 Americans dead now from the disease. Or did the military help spread the disease? Have they been helpful in preventing the forest fires or in fighting them? Have they helped the Gulf Coast by stopping the invading storms? Have they prevented any of the floodwaters pouring down on the Gulf Coast, Louisiana, Mississippi, from Hurricane Sally, for example? So where is security going to come from? It certainly isn't going to come from the military because it isn't geared to help us with the types of natural disasters that we have to cope with and which, in fact, are killing many Americans. And then the resources that the military takes are tremendous. The estimated military budget for this coming year, October 20th or October 1st, 2020 to September 30th, 2021 is $934 billion, with more than $705 billion outlined by the Department of Defense alone. So we need to change our national priorities and begin to use the resources of our country, our taxpayer money, to care for the environment and to care for people. And, you know, back to that question, Mark, for a minute about, you know, what are Americans worried about? Well, it depends on who you are. But, for example, who is attacking Americans? Well, if you're a person of color, you're probably more worried about the police here, the occupying military forces here that are attacking you. Or if you're poor, you're worried about the virus. Or maybe you're worried about food security and housing. So all of these questions always come into play and are important questions, and we seriously need to think about them.
Yeah, and also one thing we've seen, particularly in Oregon, was almost 500,000 people were forced to evacuate from the wildfires. And certainly there's been climate refugees before in the United States, but, you know, this is the largest in the United States. We certainly saw also climate refugees on our southern border. Certainly they were fleeing some military situations the United States helped exacerbate, like in Honduras and Guatemala, but it was also related to the tremendous drought and other problems that people see in Syria. The refugee crisis, the climate change forced people into the cities a number of years ago from the farms. And, you know, obviously Syria already had a lot of internal problems, but it just sort of was the final match that really, you know, put that situation aflame and threw Syrian refugees all across Europe. And in fact, for many years, the Pentagon has said that the greatest national security threat, it was not terrorism or Russia or China, it was climate change, because we're going to see tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of climate refugees. And, you know, the fight and the struggle over access to land and water and food. So it's just sort of really beginning to accelerate. But I also understand that you're going to be speaking on Friday, September 25th at 7 down at Time and Space Limited, along with Maureen, Time and Space Limited down in Hudson. What's that about?
Well, it certainly has to do with militarism. We're doing an outdoor book reading, socially distanced. TSL, Time and Space Limited, put up an outdoor stage, so people will all be outside in the parking lot. And we will be presenting and reading from Bending the Arc, our book, Striving for Peace and Justice in the Age of Endless War, published by SUNY Press. And it has essays by many activist authors like Kathy Kelly, Medea Benjamin, David Swanson, retired Colonel Anne Wright, Jim Merkel, an environmentalist, Jim Jennings, Conscience International, etc. This book is a book about peace activism and how folks like the ones I just mentioned and others found themselves getting involved in peace activism. So we're going to be presenting from the book and selling a few books, we hope to. And also after the showing or the reading from 7 to 8 and our presentation, there will be a showing of Dr. Strangelove, the Stanley Kubrick movie about nuclear bomb, How I Learned to Love the Bomb. And it's a terrific movie. Probably many of you have seen it.
Well, we're almost out of time. We've been talking to John Amidon. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. Just to quickly follow up, the book was also the subject of the recent Qatari press conference. You know, was that press conference, was that taped? And can people go online and listen to any of the presentations?
Yeah, the peace conference was taped. And you can look it up by going to World Beyond War. It's on their website. So Google Bending the Arc, Kateri Peace Conference, and World Beyond War. You'll pull up a World Beyond War page on their website with links to the Kateri Peace Conference and